Hello, comic book fans. This is Kathy Garver, Firestar, on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. Spider Friends, go for it!
Hey there, Spider Friends! Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Thanks for swinging by the lair this week, where we are going to be spending a few episodes talking about our favorite web-spinning wonder, Spider-Man. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to check out Comic Book Central online. You want to go to the website? Website. That seems appropriate for the next few episodes. The website is comicbookcentral.net. On comicbookcentral.net, you've got the archives, so you can stream them there every episode. Now, on Facebook and Twitter, when the show premieres on Saturday, I generally post the direct link to the episode. If you've discovered the show that way, fantastic. Thanks for joining us. But you're going to want to go back and check out those crazy cool conversations I've had with some of the legendary talents. So on iTunes, you get that, all the back episodes, you get them on the archive at comicbookcentral.net. While you're on the website, you can also click the Signal Me tab if you want to drop me a line. There's also email joe@comicbookcentral.net. Would love to hear from you. And if you want to check out the guest list in its entirety to see all the back episodes, go on Facebook. There's a link there on the website in the About section on the Facebook page. I've got the entire episode guide. And you can follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at comicbookctrl. If you would retweet the show to your followers, hashtag share the lair, share those links on Facebook, leave a review in iTunes. All those are helpful ways to support the show. Those are the best ways to get the word out. Those are the best ways to support the show. More than likely, most people on your Facebook and Twitter pages, they're comic book fans anyway, so they'll probably get a kick out of Comic Book Central if they're not listening already. So thanks to all of you who have been getting the word out. Keep it going. All right, as I mentioned, I'm devoting the next few episodes of Comic Book Central to our friendly neighborhood, Spider-Man. For these episodes, we're going to be taking a look back at some of Spidey's animated adventures. Now this week, it is the lovely and talented Kathy Garver. She's going to be joining me today. Next week, the equally lovely and talented Dan Gilvezan. Kathy and Dan co-starred on the animated series that caught many of us in its web of adventure, Saturday mornings on NBC back in the early 80s, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. So I'm going to take a look back at that show for the next couple of episodes. Then, programming note, I'm taking a week off to visit my IndieCast buddies at Connecticut Comic Con. More on that at the end of today's show, so stay tuned for that. When I return from Connecticut Comic Con, I'm going to bring you a rare, and folks, I do mean rare, interview with the man who started it all for Spidey animation. He was the voice of Peter Parker and Spider-Man from the original 1960s animated series. You know the one, that song stuck in your head, right? Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Everybody sing it, it's in all the movies. Paul Soles is going to be here. That's right. Back-to-back Spideys are coming up. Rare interview with Paul Soles. The great Dan Gilvezan is going to be coming up next week. You don't want to miss a moment of these amazing conversations. And I cannot think of a better way to kick off these Spidey-centric episodes than by chatting with the amazingly talented actress who's going to be joining me in just a few minutes. Check this out, Spider Friends. I'm going to be right back with the stunning star who, as Firestar, turned up the heat with Spider-Man and Iceman, actress Kathy Garver. For a child actor in the 50s, projects didn't get much more high profile than ones involving Charles Laughton, Robert Mitchum, Cecil B. DeMille, and Charlton Heston. But those are two movie sets on which young Kathy Garver could be found, The Night of the Hunter and The Ten Commandments. Radio, stage, and television work followed. And while Kathy was attending UCLA, she landed a role that brought her into millions of living rooms each and every week. Katherine Patterson Davis, or Sissy for short, on the hit series Family Affair. For five seasons, viewers tuned in to watch the hilarious and heartwarming adventures of the Davis family. Siblings Sissy, Buffy, and Jody, along with Gentleman's Gentleman, Mr. French, and Uncle Bill, played respectively by Hollywood greats Sebastian Cabot and Brian Keith. The show was such an enormous hit, Kathy found her likeness on tons of merchandise, lunchboxes, board games, coloring books, even a comic book published by Gold Key Comics in 1970. Now, returning to UCLA, Kathy got her master's degree in theater arts, and she discovered a new acting outlet, voice work for animated series. As listeners of the premiere episode of this very podcast know, in 1980, Marvel Comics legend Stan the Man Lee moved from the East Coast to the West to start up Marvel Productions.
Well, what happened was I wanted to move out to the coast. They were doing these cartoon shows of ours, and I said to everybody at Marvel, why do we have other people animating our characters? Why don't we form our own little studio out on the coast, and we'll be in charge ourselves?
The first character out of the gate from Marvel Productions was their flagship superhero, Spider-Man. Two animated shows were produced simultaneously and premiered on the same date, September 12, 1981. Spider-Man for syndication, which was a straightforward update of the 60s classic, and a completely different cast on the show that became a smash hit on Saturday mornings for NBC.
Spider-Man and his amazing friend, Iceman and Firestar.
The leader of the Spider Friends was played by Dan Gelvezen, a relative newcomer to voice acting at the time, and he knocks it out of the park as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. In this version, as the name suggests, Spidey is not web-slinging solo. Nope, he is joined by fire and ice in the form of former X-Men team members Bobby Drake, a.k.a. Iceman, played by the great voiceover artist Frank Welker, and a new Marvel character created just for this series, Angelica Jones, a.k.a. Firestar, voiced by none other than Kathy Garver.
Fire friends, go for it!
While attending Empire State University, the Spider Friends hung out in an apartment, paid rent to Pete's Aunt May, voiced by animation legend June Foray, and battled supervillains with the help from a generous grant by Tony Stark. Not unlike ABC's popular Super Friends, comic relief was provided in the form of a canine, Angelica's Lhasa Apso, Ms. Lion. Now, following the series, we continue to hear Kathy's voice in shows like Chuck Norris' Karate Commandos and a return to the animated Spider-Verse in the 90s. Well, my guest today, she is an actress well known for her role as Sissy in the classic TV series Family Affair, but we comic book fans know that she helped create the mutant superhero known as Firestar on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. We are heating things up today on Comic Book Central with Kathy Garver. Kathy, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Actually, you know, Firestar was one of the first female heroine mutants, so I was very happy and privileged to originate the part. And we had such a great cast on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends with the amazing Dan Gilvezan and Frank Welker as Iceman.
Oh, that cast. I mean, we'll talk about that as we get to. But that's one of the coolest things, too, is when a character takes off like that and then ends up becoming part of the comic book universe, too.
And actually, you know, there were four comic books about Firestar unto herself.
Yep, and we definitely have the miniseries too. Yeah, the classic miniseries, and yeah, there's all, and she was in X-Men. Oh, it's just I just love. There's a couple of examples like that. We think even on Arrow today, the character Diggle, and then they bring him into the comic books, and these characters just take off and they become so popular, and that's obviously due to the actors and the writers. the talented people involved in that. So, classic character. It's one we definitely want to talk about. I have to say, though, not often you get to chat with somebody who is in the Ten Commandments. It's happened to me twice now. First time with Heston. Now, the great Kathy Garver. This is great.
You talked to Charlton Heston?
I did. It was one of my first interviews I ever did when I was getting into the business. Strange tale, but yes, I did meet the man. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. So now I get to do it again all these years later with Kathy. What was your experience like on the Ten Commandments? I mean, you're a kid. How did you get involved in the Ten Commandments? What was your experience like working with the great Cecil B. DeMille and Heston and all the heroes of Hollywood?
Well, it's actually chronicled in my new book, Surviving Sissy, My Family's Year of Life in Hollywood. But at the beginning, I was just hired as an extra. It was one of my first roles in Hollywood, and I was to be holding a little lamb on a wagon going through the dusty streets, and all of a sudden I heard this voice say, "Don't let that little girl's face get in the camera." And I said, "Oh my gosh, who was that? Was that God? We are doing the Ten Commandments." That was from way above me. Well, it turned out it wasn't. And it was just Cecil B. DeMille on a big crane. And so I did the scene with like kind of a blanket half over my head. And then the associate producer came over and he said, "Oh, Mr. DeMille would like to talk with you." And I said, "Whoever that is." Now I'm like 7 years old. So we chatted, and he wrote special scenes into the show for me. And one of them involved your friend, Charlton Heston. One of the first scenes he wrote is during the Exodus, and I'm coming down stone steps, and we're getting all prepared. And I said, "Grandfather, do you have a pumpkin?" And then I say, "Where's Rebecca?" And then a disembodied hand reaches through a window and said, "Here's Rebecca." And that was my doll. So fast forward, and I'm on the papier-mâché mountain, and everybody is trying to get out of town, and the Red Sea is closing. And Charlton Heston, as Moses, said, "Are you afraid?" And he said, "No, but Rebecca is." So he scoops us both off the mountain and continue our trek, getting wet through D.C.
What a thing to have on your resume. That is unbelievable. Now, had your parents, how did you get into acting? Did your parents, were they stage parents, commercials? How are you on the set of the Ten Commandments?
I was a Meglin kiddie, and Ethel Meglin had a studio in the long time ago. I wouldn't say the years, perhaps. she had trained Shirley Temple, and Shirley Temple was discovered there. So, of course, my mom thought, "Oh, well, yes, of course, I will be the next Shirley Temple," and had my hair in ringlets and the whole thing. And I was the youngest of four children, and the other ones, were kind of settled. And so I started singing and dancing, ballet and tap. And my sister, I'm going to try and shorten this story for you.
I know we are going back a little bit. I know we're living on time today. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. My sister, who is 11 years older and like a prodigy, was attending Mount St. Mary's College at 15. And she needed, she was in a play and she needed two kids to be with her in the cast. So my older brother and I appeared in this play, Everyman. Well, it just so happened that Gloria McMillan, that played Harriet Conklin on Miss Brooks, her mother was an agent. The mother saw me and said, "Well, if you want an agent, call me." My mom called her, and the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah, it is history, and certainly all these different roles. And we talk about, again, we'll fast forward a little bit here to one of the most iconic shows around, Family Affair, 138 episodes. You got to play the role of Sissy on Family Affair. How did you get that role?
Well, they had already cast it with Brian Keith as Uncle Bill and Sebastian Cabot as Mr. French and Buffy and Jody as twins, and they were still missing the 15-year-old girl. And so my agent, still Hazel McMillan, called up the casting director, Virginia Martindale, and I had done episodics for her before. And so he says, "Oh, I have the perfect girl." Of course, your agent says that. And so I said, "Bring her over right away because we're shooting the pilot next week." So I was started at UCLA at the time, and I was in a sorority. And so I get this call from Hazel, and they said, "Oh, you've got to go on this interview." And I said, well, okay. And she said, "Now, here's the thing, though. They want a blonde, blue-eyed girl." I said, "Oh, I had dark hair and dark eyes. I was playing a slave in the Ten Commandments. So I frantically said, Mother, they want somebody with blonde hair. And she said, not to worry, not to worry. So she rushes over to the sorority house with this stuff called Streaks and Tips, sprays my hair it looks blonde. So we go in speed over that afternoon. I'm talking with the producer, Ed Hartman, and we're chatting. We're having a nice time. And he says, what's wrong with your hair? I said, my hair, innocently. He says, yes, it's turning green. I said, that must be the light. So anyway,
again, this has happened before on Comic Book Central. This is a Brady Bunch episode. I think I've seen this one.
I must say, when Family Affair was canceled after 5 years, and John Feddersen, the producer from CBS, said, okay, we'll take it to ABC, NBC, I forget which one, and he was about to sign on the dotted line. They said, well, actually, we have this new show that has 6 kids, and is let's do that. And the little girl on that show so emulated Buffy, and she admits it.
Blonde hair, ponytails,
and she had a doll.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I got it. I went, then I did a screen test for it, and again, the rest is history.
These hair coloring stories never end well. They're a sitcom episode unto themselves. Now, you didn't know Heston at the time, but you knew Brian Keith. You were a fan of Brian Keith, from what I've read.
Oh, yes. Actually, when I was a child, I did an episode of a TV series he had, which was called The Crusader. And I love Brian. Brian was, a manly man. But he had this great sensitivity and loved kids and was a phenomenal actor. It was interesting because he had such a different style than Sebastian Cabot. I mean, he was really laid back. He says, all right, what are we doing today? And he'd go over and say, okay, I'm ready. Sebastian, on the other hand, would take his script, dutifully learn it line by line, word by word, study over the weekend. And they were both excellent actors, but the difference in styles, I think, really made a wonderful dynamic.
And that really played to their characters, though, too, didn't they? I mean, that's almost representative of their characters.
They made those characters.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have any gentleman's gentleman and have a stereotypical gentleman's gentleman, but he had put the warmth in there and put in his own style, because Sebastian, too, had a very warm heart. And, I mean, anybody can play a dad. Now, Brian could have played it like Glenn Ford, who was first approached to do it. Or Sebastian could have played it like Terry Thomas, who was first approached to do it. But they really put in their own styles. And indeed, when they tried a remake of Family Affair that was abysmal and quickly canceled, they had Tim Curry play Sebastian's role. Well, he was he's a wonderful actor. And, but for this role, he played it so out there and so really kinetic that he didn't get the heart of it. And Gary Cole was too soft and laid back. So he didn't have the dynamism that Brian would have.
Yeah.
And he edged.
And I think you're always going to suffer from the comparisons, too, because it was so entrenched in the American psyche. It was just it's tough. It's tough to remake things like that, too. Not the last time you worked with Brian Keith, though. As comic book fans know, and we'll talk about your voiceover work now, he's Uncle Ben. He played Uncle Ben on this, and in the 1990 Spider-Man animated series, which you also came back for.
Yes, the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
However, I never worked with him. I mean, I played Miss America, I am a monster. But we never recorded together, now done so much.
Yeah.
I recorded the Bible in L.A. and in Chicago, and I never met some of the wonderful people that were in it, with James Caviezel, talk about typecasting, that played Jesus, and other of the characters. But when we were doing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, we all Dan Gilvan and Frank Welker and I, and then whomever was in the guest cast, we all sat around the table and did a table read. We all recorded together, which I really love.
Okay, yeah, perfect segue. I want to get it. Because we always talk about, we've had a lot of voice actors on the show, and it's sometimes it's a radio play, sometimes you're in a booth in Canada or somewhere, or California, you know, in Europe somewhere, recording dialogue and sending it digitally. So on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, you got to play act with these guys, right?
Absolutely, and it's wonderful to, you know, see a person's facial expressions as you are relating to them and as you are acting with them. I actually teach voiceover in San Francisco. I teach developing characters and audiobooks. I've done like 60 audiobooks, and I help people along their audio path and how it's best for them to record and indeed record at home easily. And there's been so many advancements in voiceover recording. But there's nothing like seeing somebody's expression on the face right next to you. That's why I just,
especially Welker, I would imagine.
Oh, Welker is great. I was just in Cincinnati doing a radio recreation, old-time radio, and that is so much fun. I mean, because it combines so many things. Great scripts. The people are right there. The pace is good, you know, and you really go for it as you are doing your radio stage play.
Oh, it's the best. If something goes wrong, you ad lib. I mean, you know, you just, it's live a lot of times. I mean, we're seeing a lot of this coming back now, some of these live theater, radio plays going on, classic stuff. And now, how does that, on Spider-Man His Amazing Friends, when you're doing this, a lot of action scenes and you're flying, you're in all kinds of, you know, you're flipping through the air, you're doing all things, you're throwing fireballs. What are you doing in studio? How are you rehearsing this? How are you recording it? What are you doing physically that enables you to get that performance out that's believable, that this person is flying and throwing fireballs and all these things?
Well, first, you know, as I say, you do a table read, and that isn't voice over. This is mind, voice, and body. And you have to engage your whole body, not, you know, to make it sound realistic. When I'm doing Spider-Man, Go For It, I'm lifting my arms and saying, Spider-Man, go for it. It gives it the energy. It makes it more believable. You imagine when you are flying, and you actually do the physical movements of flying. When I'm first teaching my beginning students, I said, you can do anything you want, but don't move your mouth from the microphone. So you're not like all over the place, but you are using the other aspects of your body to engage and to make believable any physical things like throwing a fireball or wow, panting or doing any of those things. So my dog just went to get her toy when I started panting. Okay, now she's squeaking her toy.
That's not Ms. Lion, is it?
No, I wouldn't be lying to you. She's a black cocker spaniel.
Okay, it's not a Lhasa Apso.
No.
Yeah, Welker did the voice of Ms. Lion, right?
Yes, I mean, he has done practically every dog, cat, mouse,
monkey
that's ever been on.
In Raiders, yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he did monkeys. Now, we mentioned that Firestar was an original character. I believe that they originally wanted the Human Torch, and there was some legal rights or something, so they bring in Firestar. Is that basically what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, how do you do homework? Because usually if somebody says, you're Spider-Man, okay, I can go back and read all these comic books for decades. Or, you know, you're Superman, okay, there's a history of Superman. You got nothing to work with. So how do you, what kind of homework do you do when you're crafting a new superhero?
Stan Lee, this was, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was one of the first comic books that actually skipped on over to a new media and was an animated show. So that's, I love that. Not only was I able to create an original character, but it was one of the first animated series from a comic book. So when I get a character that hasn't been done before, I also look into myself and think, well, what are the superhero elements that you might have? And how does your athleticism, you know, play into the character? Okay, I play tennis and swim or play golf. You know, and I'm going to have dominance over that golf ball, let's say. investigating things inside you. That's wonderful to know and go back if I were playing Spider-Man or whatever and see the history. But you still have to inject who you are. This is from an actor's point of view. You can't be anybody else but you. So you find those elements within you that are applicable to a particular character. You put them all together in within the outline of what the character is, what it's doing, its setting. I feel like I'm giving an acting lesson, but
I'm taking notes as we're going.
Okay.
We're all taking notes as you're writing these things. This is a little preview for Kathy Garver's acting class. Did you get to meet Stan Lee? Stan the man?
Oh, yes, I've met Stan Lee. I've met him mostly at Comic-Cons because he didn't really come to our sessions, even though that he made the intros to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I did meet him once when we were doing a tour, and he was showing off the studio. It's a documentary of how Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was first made. And how they went into the studio. So I met him there, but I've really had more occasion to see him lately.
Okay, so, well, and there's that episode, too, The Origin of the Spider-Friends, and I wanted to ask about this, because Stan Lee narrates it, he intros it and says, hey, you guys have been asking about how these college kids that have no money can afford all this high-tech equipment. So we're making this episode just for, was that episode planned, or were there people writing in going, okay, this is... How do these kids afford all this?
Well, it wasn't just a one writer series. There were other people that would put in their input, and so it became a committee writing group. And so someone raised that question. They said, "Oh, okay. Well, let's make this element and that element." That's one of my favorite episodes too. I love the origin.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah. And for listeners who haven't seen it, Tony Stark funds you guys. Which is very cool. So I've got, here's a question for you. Peter Parker or Bobby Drake?
Peter Parker.
There we go. Question answered after all these years. They're always fighting over you. They're always fighting over you, like at every episode. And then the show ends and you're like, oh, okay. So but now we know where Firestar's romantic feelings are, right?
That's where her heart is.
There we go. There we go. I got to ask you about a couple of these episodes here. The Transylvanian Connection, I think it was retitled Bride of Dracula for syndication. Talk about that episode. It's one of the craziest ones. You get whammied by Dracula. Wolfman is, well, Wolf Thing. He's piloting the plane to Transylvania. You got a Frankenstein robot. What do you remember
sometimes
about shooting?
Sometimes they just put in all kinds of things. One of my favorite episodes was when there was the creature that was made up of bees, and he was all bees, and he was, but it was a monster that was made up of bees. So that was pretty thrilling. I have my friend John Semper, who was a story editor, and wrote some of them. I love the actual storylines of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. They were philosophical. They had a little more depth than some of the other ones. The animation was not as great as some of the other succeeding shows, but I thought the stories and the storylines, and of course the voices, were absolutely spectacular.
Oh, the cast. And June Foray, did you get to work? You got to work directly with her, correct?
Oh, yes. I worked with June a lot.
As Aunt May. What was she like to work with?
And she's still around. I mean, she's like
97.
90, I forget what, and they had a book coming out.
Yeah, amazing cast. All three seasons released in the UK back in 2010. Any word on a DVD or Blu-ray release, Region 1, here in the States?
They still talk about it, but since it's still being shown on television, they don't like to release it on DVD. I mean, that's kind of a Disney-esque thing, and especially now since Disney owns Marvel, that may endure for a while.
Okay.
I put it on Hulu and Netflix, and, it's on the Cartoon Network on ABC. So I think they'd rather go that route.
They haven't approached you about, like, shooting extra material or anything like that?
No, but that's a good idea, Joe.
Okay.
I should suggest that to the powers that be.
Just trying to look,
do
and look ahead.
Bonus features.
Just trying to look ahead into the future to see if we've got something around the corner here. Yeah, amazing. Well, let's talk about how fans can find out more about you. The website?
www.kathygarver.com. Facebook, Twitter. I'm supposed to be starting my blog, but I've had other things interfere. So I'm on all those social medias.
We'll get those links up. We've got the Family Affair cookbook. You binge watched episodes of Family Affair and adapted recipes to these?
Yes, I have. And speaking of binging, there's a new network called Decades. That is a marriage between CBS and Weagle Broadcasting. Weagle Broadcasting does MeTV, and it's all binge TV. So they played all 138 episodes of Family Affair. They're going to do all Rifleman, all out of the CBS library. So that's a wonderful place to see it. Or, of course, you can buy the DVDs on my KathyGarver.com. My book is coming out in 2015, September 1st. Is Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood. So you can go to Amazon.com, pre-order, and save $5 because it's on pre-order right now.
Always good to save for a gift for somebody or for yourself. Always nice to save a few
Absolutely.
Bucks.
Absolutely.
And you've got a book coming out in 2016 next year, too.
I do.
It's Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? We've got that. We've got the Family Affair cookbook. You watch the shows. You make the recipes. Kathy Garver will tell you how to do it. It's all there. KathyGarver.com. Oh, my goodness. You are a busy one. Kathy, as I mentioned at the top, you helped create this fantastic character, Firestar. It's cool when a character takes off like that, becomes part of the comic book universe. Continued success with everything you're doing with all of your upcoming projects. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me on Comic Book Central.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Folks, be sure to check out Kathy's website, KathyGarver.com. There you can buy her book, The Family Affair Cookbook. You can pre-order her upcoming book, Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood. That's set to publish on September 1st. You can get an autographed version on her site. Amazon, not autographed, but you do get a nice discount on the pre-order. You can snag it, take it to one of her upcoming appearances, have her sign it there. That would be very cool. Her appearances are updated on her website. It's very cool. She's got some pictures there at different conventions. I saw one where she was at a recent convention. She had some bunch of comic books that she was signing there in which Firestar appears, New Warriors, things like that. So that's pretty cool. You can see that over on her website. Again, it's KathyGarver.com. You can also give Kathy a like on Facebook, facebook.com/KathyGarverFanpage. And you can follow Firestar on Twitter. Kathy's Twitter feed is at CocoGigi, CocoGigi. I'm going to put all those links in the show notes at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Again, my thanks to Kathy for kicking off this look at Spidey's animated adventures. That was fun. More wall-crawling goodness in the weeks to come with Kathy's co-star Dan Gilvezan next week, and Paul Soule's 60s Spider-Man just around the corner. Folks, I'm going to tell you what else is just around the corner. Connecticut Comic Con. It is almost here. August 14th through the 16th at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. New facility for them, new venue for them. I'm looking forward to it. Get your tickets. Come out and say hi. I'm going to be there recording a bunch of content for future episodes of Comic Book Central. I'm going to be running a few Q&As that Saturday at the convention. One with the Scarlet Speedster, the original Flash, John Wesley Shipp. Another Q&A with the Dark Knight, Kevin Conroy. He has been on the show before. You want to go check out that interview as well. Kevin and I are going to be joined by the head of DC Animation, Mike Carlin. We're going to be talking about DC animated projects, past, present, and future. So if you're attending the convention, you're going to want to check out those Q&As. I'm also working on some special surprises for those. So we'll see if that works out, but you might be able to check out some special surprises at those Q&As. Just saying. My special guest from a few weeks ago on Comic Book Central, Adrian Pasdar, the voice of Iron Man, he's going to be there too. His co-star from Heroes, Greg Grunberg, their rock and roll band, Banned from TV, they're going to be playing live. Oh, goodness. Oh, how are we going to get everything in? So many guests from TV shows and movies. So much content to record for you guys coming up. The legends that worked on these comic characters in the comic books, they're going to be there. Tons of guests. The entire rundown is on the website, ConnecticutComicCon.com. It's CTComicon.com. If you want a preview of the event, be sure to check out episodes 40 and 41 of Comic Book Central. That was my two-part adventure from last year's event. Good stuff on those episodes. More to come. Episodes 40 and 41, those episodes are on iTunes and on my website in the archive, comicbookcentral.net. Click that iTunes icon, subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Click the Facebook icon, go over to Facebook, follow me over there, share those links, hashtag share the lair on Twitter. Click that Twitter icon while you're there. Share the lair, get the word out. Click that Signal Me tab too. I want to hear from you guys. Write in. I want to hear from you. Drop me a line. Joe@comicbookcentral.net. Click the Signal Me tab. Put my mailman, Virtual Willie Lumpkin, to work. Speaking of Mr. Lumpkin, he delivered a note from Roger Hunter Hall this week. Roger writes, "Thanks to a couple of your interviewees, I've discovered the amazing program you have going on here at comicbookcentral.net, and I wanted to let you know that I'm enjoying your interviews immensely. They are wonderfully done. Thank you for undertaking such a project as this. It's great for us listeners, but these interviews really are oral histories that are being preserved." Well, I'm a librarian, and I think in library terms. Joanna Pang Atkins mentioned that she and Brian Cutler will be doing an interview with you in August. That one will be amazing. She is the nicest person, and she has done so many interesting things in her career since the Secrets of Isis TV series. It's great after all these years to hear these voices we still remember fondly and well from so many years ago. Joanna and Brian reunited will be a very special episode. I'm also looking forward to listening to your interview with Kathy Lee Crosby. Her portrayal of Wonder Woman involved a very different concept of the character, it's true, but one that was very interesting. I remember the movie when it came out in 1974. I loved it then, and I enjoy rewatching it to this day. Finally, I'm so glad you're choosing to do interviews with people such as Kathy Lee Crosby and Garrett Craig, and supporting cast members like Joanna Pang and Brian Cutler, people who might be otherwise overlooked. They have awesome stories to tell their fans. The Joanna Cameron interview was such a special achievement, one to cherish. Best wishes to you and this great endeavor from a loyal listener. Oh, you are quite welcome. And thank you, Roger. Oh, those very kind words. Thanks for writing in. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. I'm glad you're also going back and checking out some of those past episodes. Those were fun. And thank you for putting your thoughts in library terms. As you said, you pretty much hit the nail right on the head there. When I was developing Comic Book Central, that was a huge goal of what I set out to do. I definitely wanted to do that. I wanted to create this archive of these interviews. That's what I've got over on the website in the archive. Listeners can go back, check them out. I try to keep things topical, but also want to go back and just sort of set the stage for these projects as well. Maybe people can discover a quote-unquote new show from the past, new to them, learn something about a movie or a TV show that they checked out on Hulu or Netflix, go back. So yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to do, was to create this archive of all these different interviews. So I'm glad you caught that. And yes, you are correct. My time in the world of Filmation's Shazam and Secrets of Isis is not over. Got those interviews. Yeah, Jackson Boswick, Michael Gray, John Davey. As you said, very rare interview with Joanna Cameron. They're all out there, all fun episodes. But I will be revisiting The Secrets of Isis with Joanna's co-stars, as you said, Brian Cutler and Joanna Pang. So yes, that episode is coming up. Stay tuned for that. Putting those questions together now. I think I'm going to have to ask him what was up with all those troublesome kids. Why were they always hanging out in junkyards and getting in trouble and hanging off cliffs? I don't know. It kept Captain Marvel and Isis busy, that's for sure. All right, folks, like Firestar, I'm going to blast on out of here, but not for long, because next week on Comic Book Central, my time in the wild and wonderful world of the Web Slinger continues with the leader of the Spider Friends, the man who brought Spidey to life alongside Kathy's Firestar. He also voiced Bumblebee on the classic Transformers TV series. Actor Dan Gilvezan joins me next week. Until then, Spider Friends, keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
notice. You look ravishing tonight. You want a boogie?
Why, Peter, how gallant of you.
Too late, Webhead. Angelica promised this dance to me.
Back off, Lizard Breath. I asked her first.
The heck you did. Tell him who gets this dance, Angelica.
Yeah, Angelica. Tell him. Angelica?
Angelica!